Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith is a classic work of political economy and one of the most influential books in the history of economic thought. This deluxe hardbound edition presents Smith's foundational analysis of how markets create wealth, how labor is organized, and why productive capacity matters more than the simple accumulation of money. First published in 1776, the book helped define classical economics and remains central to discussions of capitalism, free enterprise, and government policy. Rather than offering a modern textbook treatment, it develops a broad framework for understanding prices, wages, trade, specialization, and long-term growth. Readers approach it not only as a historical landmark, but also as a source of enduring ideas about how societies generate prosperity and how economic institutions shape human behavior. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, division of labor as the main source of productivity gains. One of Smith's most important arguments is that productivity rises sharply when work is divided into specialized tasks. He treats division of labor not as a minor efficiency trick, but as a structural principle of wealth creation. Specialization allows workers to become faster, more skilled, and more focused, while also making it possible to develop tools and processes suited to repeated tasks. Smith connects this idea to the expansion of markets. When exchange becomes easier and larger, specialization becomes more practical, and specialization in turn raises output. This mechanism explains why wealth is not simply a matter of natural resources or money supply. It depends on how effectively labor is organized. The book uses this principle to show that economic growth comes from increasing the productive powers of labor rather than from hoarding precious metals or imposing artificial restrictions on trade. Secondly, the invisible hand and the coordination of self-interest in markets. Smith's famous invisible hand idea is central to the book's account of market order. He argues that individuals usually pursue their own economic advantage, yet in competitive settings, those private decisions can contribute to public prosperity. The point is not that self-interest is morally ideal, but that markets can coordinate dispersed choices without requiring constant central direction. Prices communicate scarcity, demand, and opportunity, allowing buyers and sellers to adjust their behavior in ways that often improve overall efficiency. This is one reason the book is so important to capitalism. It provides an explanation for how decentralized exchange can produce coherent economic outcomes. Smith does not present markets as flawless, but he gives a powerful framework for understanding why free enterprise can generate wealth when entry, competition, and exchange are not unnecessarily blocked. The concept remains influential because it links individual incentives to systemic order. Thirdly, capital accumulation, saving, and reinvestment as drivers of future growth. The book gives major attention to capital accumulation, meaning the process by which savings are turned into productive investment. Smith sees future prosperity as dependent on whether a society can set aside part of current output and direct it toward better tools, more efficient methods, and expanded production. Capital is therefore not merely stored wealth. It is the basis for additional labor productivity. This is why thrift matters in his system. Saving makes it possible to sustain workers, purchase machinery, and support enterprises that expand the economic capacity of the nation. Smith links this to confidence in property security and stable institutions, because people are less willing to invest when they fear arbitrary confiscation or insecurity. In this view, growth is cumulative present production supports future production. The book is especially important for readers seeking to understand why investment, rather than consumption alone, shapes long-term economic development. Fourthly, critique of mercantilism and defense of free markets. A major purpose of the book is to challenge mercantilist thinking, which treated national wealth as something to be managed through heavy state control, trade barriers, and accumulation of bullion. Smith argues instead that wealth consists in the annual flow of goods and services a nation produces. From that perspective, restrictive policies can weaken prosperity by limiting competition, distorting prices, and discouraging efficient allocation of labor and capital. He defends free markets because they allow resources to move toward more productive uses. This does not mean he rejects all government action, but he consistently criticizes measures that protect special interests at the expense of general welfare. The book's enduring significance lies partly in this shift of emphasis from controlling trade to enabling production. That intellectual move helped establish the basic logic of classical liberal economics and remains relevant in debates about tariffs, regulation, and industrial policy. Lastly, the role of institutions, security, and the historical development of economies. Smith is not writing as if economic life exists apart from politics and institutions. He repeatedly shows that markets depend on legal order, property rights, trust, and public institutions that protect exchange. He also analyzes the historical development of societies, moving from more rudimentary systems toward commercial society and market-based coordination. This historical approach matters because Smith does not assume that one set of economic arrangements fits every stage of development. Instead, he asks what kinds of institutions support productive activity in different conditions. His discussion of government is therefore complex. He is critical of interference that benefits elites. Yet he recognizes the need for public functions that markets cannot easily provide. This balanced perspective gives the book unusual depth. It is not simply a celebration of business activity, but a structured account of how law, custom, and economic freedom interact to produce a workable and growing commercial order. In conclusion, this book should be read by students of economics, historians of ideas, policy readers, and anyone trying to understand where modern capitalism came from. It is especially valuable for readers who want to move beyond simplified summaries of markets and see the original arguments behind specialization, competition, capital accumulation, and the limits of state control. The main benefit of reading it is intellectual rather than technical. It provides a durable framework for thinking about how wealth is created and how economic systems organize. Human effort. Compared with modern introductory books on economics, it stands out because it is not merely explanatory, it is foundational. Smith is not summarizing an existing field but helping to invent it. This deluxe hardbound edition also appeals to readers who want a collectible presentation of a canonical text. For anyone interested in capitalism, economic history, or the logic of markets, it remains one of the most important and distinctive works available. If you would like to support Adam Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.